From your world news headquarters on the World Wide Web, it's time for your daily dose of sanity. This is the Maria Heller Show. Maria Heller is a published author, founder of the Universal Wheel, a lifestyle and philosophy based on our interconnectedness to all living things, a Reiki master, and delivers the news with spiritual views. How many intuitive news decoders, animal rights activists, and vegetarian broadcasters are there? Just one. Maria. Maria has provided independent news for a smart audience for over 13 years now on the Maria Heller Show, available at maria.net.
M-E-R-I-A.net.
And now, here is your host, the mouth that roars, Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. For those of you celebrating the holiday, happy holiday. Don't eat too much. Try to remember to get back to the gym tomorrow. Welcome to the last of 2013's Blood and Guts with my excellent co-host, family guy, Jack Blood. Good morning, Jack.
Happy Christmas, Maria, and war is over if Obama says it is.
Yeah, war is over. Looks like we're going to be in another war by the time New Year's comes in the Sudan. After all, they have oil.
Well, they have oil, and China wants the oil. China and the United States and sometimes Russia and Europe, these things divide up into Oceania at war with Eurasia. You might have read the book 1984.
Yeah, I think I read it once or twice.
That's what that's all about, and it's going to be worse for those people in 2014 with Nelson Mandela passing and South Africa, the anchor of Africa, I think probably going to smithereens here. So we'll start off Christmas predictions and New Year's predictions with a bad one, I guess, for Africa, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, they have a lot of natural resources. They've got everything from oil to gold, and obviously we never gave two craps about Africa before, but all of a sudden we're worried about their civil war. Sounds like the same setup that they had for Syria.
Yeah. Oil, gold, of course, all kinds of minerals, of course, diamonds and De Beers and the Rothschilds, but importantly, cobalt, which is used in our cell phones and computers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you also saw that God's chosen people decided to pull an air raid, an air bombing on Gaza this Christmas, too. So I'm
They had it coming. That was a Christmas present from Bibi Netanyahu to the wonderful people of Palestine.
I mean, you know what? When I posted, the John Lennon's Christmas song, So This Is Christmas, on Facebook, I said that song was probably written in 1970, and I have played that song and talked about that song every Christmas since because nothing's changed for the better. And that was my Christmas cheer on Facebook.
Well, you know what? We accomplished something huge in 2013. We stopped the first war, an intervention, to, of course, save the people of Syria. And John Lennon would have been pretty proud about that. So
that's
our way. This is possible. World consensus can control political and human events, and that's a big lesson that we got to learn happily in 2013.
Well, that is true. And the other big one, and I don't know how you feel about it, was Ed Snowden. His revelations when he first came out, he's like, I don't even know if this is going to make a difference. And today he's giving the Christmas show opposite the Queen Reptile in the UK, saying that as far as he's concerned, his mission's already accomplished because of the changes and the shock around the world.
Well, and we've gotten into my sort of opinions on Mr. Snowden. I did predict that he would be the man of the year in Time magazine and that the Pope would be number two. So I just got those right in reverse order. Strike that, reverse it, as Willy Wonka used to say.
Willy Wonka. Well, you came pretty close, but this Pope is pissing off a lot of people, a lot of people in his own church. So my thought is, how long before they slip some poison into his chalice before he goes to sleep at night?
Well, I think it's all by design, quite frankly. That's why the evil Darth Vader Pope had to go before he actually died. One of the predictions I had, if you remember, we did our prediction show last year, Maria, on 12-12-12, and one of those predictions I had was that there would be a royal turnover. And I thought that maybe the Queen would step down and maybe Charles or William would take her place. Well, she'll die on that throne, but the Queen Beatrix did step down for her son, who will be a king of the Netherlands. A lot of people forget that the Netherlands are just as powerful, if not more powerful, than the British Empire still to this day. And then we had a papal turnover. So maybe that's what I was feeling, and I got that kind of right in the part of prediction number 14 last year, 12-12-12. I think that Pope Frankie One Long, as I call him, is phonier than a papal dollar. And, you know, this is a way to kind of bring people back to the church, which was hemorrhaging, really, parishioners. So just like Freemasonry has had a hard time getting people to the halls for the Masonic meetings. They've had to move into think tanks and to roundtable groups and find other ways for people to join secret societies. So is it with the Catholic Church. If he really wants to solve poverty, all he's got to do is go into their vaults and he can feed the world.
Exactly. Well, there's a concept, feed the world. I remember a young man that used to sing that before they killed him. But, you know, some days you just say, wow, if I live too long. But, you know, looking at the world, looking at America, Jack, this past year, the militarization of the police amped up, to me, it seems like 150%.
Yeah, and you know another thing we saw this year, more so than ever before, is consensus turning against the police. Cop watchers and police beating videos, more than we've ever seen, and pictures and stories, and police being suspended for their corruption and brutality. In fact, is the story I think we covered last month when I was on the show that maybe we didn't. It was, I believe, 14 or 15 of those stinking, rotten deputies that work in L.A. County Jail where they train them to beat and to abhor humanity before they were allowed on the streets, caught in corruption and civil rights abuses, and it's the tip of the iceberg. Unfortunately, it's the Hegelian dialectic at work here in some respects, because just as we are demonizing the police, they are setting up a national police force, and that's ingrained in every department. The sheriffs are standing up against that, and I think we need to get their back on some level here or there. But I believe that's what they're setting up. They're centralizing a real national police force that will be part of Homeland Security.
Well, you know, here in sunny Arizona, which, by the way, Phoenix has such a high pollution alert today, they basically said don't breathe. Sheriff Joe Arpaio, you know, who thinks he's hot shit, lost a case, finally, in court that the New Times had brought against him for false charges and setting them up only because they had published his address in their paper. So he created this entire fake case against the owners, and the owners ended up winning in court this week. But yet, where's the repercussion, Jack? My feeling is when a cop or a sheriff does something wrong, they should be punished by the same laws that they mete out to us.
Exactly. No, listen, when we, if we get our shift in consciousness, or even before then, if we reorganize here in a way that is a little more minarchist or anarchist, we're still going to need some form of security or police, because there is just evil, 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 violent people out on the streets. And part of the job in the perfect world that they're supposed to do is protect our life, liberty, and property, not take it.
Right.
Not be highway robbers or not be extortion artists or
rapists.
Right. You know, the whole, right. So to force them to be accountable is to show the rest of them that maybe they can't get away with it. But you know how it is. They think they're above the law, and that we are all guilty until proven innocent. But again, I think that's something that is that we're having a paradigm shift, a change. Just make sure we know where we want to go, and that is decentralized police. And though I don't agree with Judge Arpaio at all, I'm not a big fan of his. We work with him at the station in Phoenix, and you know he's very entertaining, but I don't believe in a lot of the things he does. Though I will help sheriffs, because sheriffs technically and legally have the ability to stand up to the federal government on things that could be constitutional. So it's helpful to get them on our side if we can do it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you got to give a lot of kudos to the Oath Keepers, too, because they've done a bang-up job with that this year.
I had a friend in, be careful, folks, because I had a friend in Rhode Island, a dear friend of mine, who was talking about things like overthrowing the government in the Oath Keepers meeting, and he got turned into the FBI. So that organization, its membership, which is largely decentralized, is crawling with feds, so y'all be careful out there. But yes, those organizations, Operation Vampire Killer by my old friend Jack McClam, the police and military against the New World Order, you know, this is where we have to go. And we see now that soldiers and generals are not as willing to jump into a conflict such as they might have with Bosnia or they did with Iraq. So they're war-weary and street-weary, too.
Well, that's another story I had this morning. I think 38 people were blown to pieces in Iraq this morning. And the papers are admitting, you know, they admit to four 8,000 people in Iraq killed this year. So what is our presence there really accomplishing?
Profits for Halliburton, General Electric, Bechtel, and Dyncor, and the usual suspects.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, you know, it's an incredible thing.
The violence this year is completely unreported. No reports on the sectarian, call it gladio violence in Iraq this last year has just been off the charts. The bloodiest year we've had since the invasion.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Nelson Mandela's funeral, Jack. And I got to say, if I had to pick out one story that's the absolute funniest story of the entire year of 2013, it's the story of the black deaf interpreter at Nelson Mandela's funeral. I don't think that I've ever seen a story so hilarious in my life. A man who was basically a nut job out of nowhere, checked out by the Secret Service background checks and whatnot, standing less than a foot away from 100 world dignitaries, including the president of the free world.
Yeah, there's your security, right? That's mm-hmm. the security we all take our shoes off at the airport for and the whole nine. Yeah,
right.
There is no such thing as security, and I assume that at some point that's going to hurt Mr. Obama.
Well, how about Obama's behavior there? I mean, what was he stoned? I mean, what was happening there?
They, you know, here's the deal. They flew over on Air Force One for, you saw the numbers on that.
Yeah, $5 million. $5 million.
Thousands of dollars a second.
Mm-hmm.
And he flew over with his cousin George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, the pictures when they're landing and they're on that plane with Obama, Michelle Obama, and cousin George Bush.
And Hillary.
They were having the time of their lives. They
mm-hmm.
really enjoyed themselves. So here are the presidents, the sans Jimmy Carter. And there they all are together, and everybody, all the girls are coming up to them, and everybody's fawning all over them, and they were rock stars over there. And they were really feeling their oats. And so, yes, there's the picture of Obama with, what is it, the Prime Minister of the Netherlands?
Uh-huh.
Of course.
The blonde, and right.
The look on Michelle Obama's face.
Priceless.
She made him switch seats like he's back a little boy sitting at the table at the fake Bin Laden kill video.
Right.
He was put in the corner. And apparently Laura wasn't very happy with George either, with the Princess of Jordan coming and flirting with them. So they were unleashed, you know, like they were in Colombia when they got caught with all the hookers.
Right.
They were unchained, they were off the hook, and they were raising the roof.
Well, you know, when you look at the more shocking part of it, besides their rude and disgusting behavior as far as I'm concerned, was the fact that here we have a guy who now is in a mental institution out there signing for how many hours? You're going to tell me nobody in the audience that was deaf said, this guy's full of shit, he doesn't know what he's doing. And at one point I saw a still somebody posted on Facebook. He's standing behind Obama and he's giving him the finger. Okay, I mean, this was hilarious on so many levels, Jack. You know, we're supposed to believe.
It's almost as if it was a script written. It's hard to imagine that could have even actually happened the way they told us.
It was too good. I mean, Saturday Night Live ripped it to shreds. And you know what? I laughed out loud watching it. And I haven't laughed at Saturday Night Live in about 15 years. But they hit that one on the head. I was like, wow, look at this.
Well, what a capper for the legacy of Nelson Mandela, which was a very confusing legacy, to say the least. I think we'll make him a saint. He'll be a sacred cow, but there's a lot of skeletons in Mr. Mandela's closet. So I figure that might have had something to do with the behavior of the presidents there. But it is shameful, and in the same way that the Ukraine revolution thing went down here this month, that the Ukraine tried to, at least the president of the Ukraine, tried to stop them from joining the European Union, which they were forced to do. And the people, I think this is very similar to what we saw in Iran in 1953. The shock troops hit the streets to overturn this decision because they wanted to join the EU that bad. They need money. They're suffering. They need billions of dollars. And here they are sitting on all this natural gas. And it ended up going back to Putin. And I thought, what a major policy F-up that was. What a massive failure. What a great chance to help the people of the Ukraine, set them free, peel them off from Eurasia, if that's what we're trying to do here. Mm-hmm. Instead, the whole thing blew up in their faces, and they just look like complete idiots.
Well, what do you think about Putin's actions in this year? Actually, I was surprised he didn't come in as man of the year for his intervention in Syria. You know, then he's got, you know, he gave asylum to Ed Snowden today or yesterday, released the members of the Pussy Riot Band. I mean, what's he up to? Is he looking to be?
He locked up the Pussy Riot Band first.
Right. Right. But now it looks like he wants to be king of the world. And, you know, his popularity, I'm sure, is greater than Obama's.
Well, that's not saying much.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, he's a snake. He is KGB, and I know a lot of people want to love him and the Castro brothers, and I understand, but these guys are tyrants, and just as Putin did lock up that band and later let them go, he also just centralized and took over most of the media that he didn't already have in Russia. He's got Snowden just as a way to use him as a propaganda tool against us, the same way we would do if we could. It's like we're back in the Cold War again, quite frankly. And I'd be very careful of the teamwork going on between Russia and China and others over there, because things, they don't have a way of ending good, if we remember the last few world wars. Do we think we're beyond a world war now? Is that how arrogant we've become?
Hell no.
If that could actually happen. So I don't want to give too many blessings and kudos to Mr. Putin at this point.
Well, but, you know, when you look at even the flack of Obama shaking hands with Raul Castro, okay, and the White House saying basically that, you know, he was caught off guard, didn't mean to shake his hand, blah, blah, blah. You know, Saturday Night Live did it best, and they said Obama thought he was Edward Olmos, the actor. But since that time, Castro's come out and said, you know, it's time to end this madness between, you know, Cuba and the United States. And I don't know if he's basing it just on that handshake. But truthfully, you're going to tell me, Jack, that we're not living under a totalitarian rule in this country? So what's the difference?
We have no moral high ground, whether we're talking about human rights abuses in China or in Russia or in Africa or anywhere. We just have no moral high ground anymore. And even the illusion of that, which basically we had, you know, 30, 40 years ago, even that's gone at this point. The pretenses are gone. The United States is the engine to bring about the new world order. It's going to be the last major superpower to fall. Almost nothing we can do about it. And most of that is, you know, due to money. Major course reversal, I think we could hopefully say that could begin this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would be nice is to see the beginning of some freedoms come back to this country. But as you know, while everybody was all paying attention to the Duck Dynasty bullshit that seemed to be everywhere for a week, they revamped the NDAA, made it worse than it was, and passed it.
That's right. Yeah, well, Obama hasn't signed it yet, and I do believe it has to get through Congress, so I have no doubt that that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, that'll be the this New Year's surprise. He rolled it out last New Year's Eve, if you remember, while everybody was celebrating. You know, one more year of homelessness and starvation in America. And, you know, that's a huge issue. I mean, I don't ever remember in my life ever seeing America in the financial straits that it's in now. But I do have friends that remember the Great Depression, and they said this is equal to it or worse.
The numbers pretty much are. That look at the, this is the weird thing, is we have a massive Wall Street and even real estate bubble beginning to grow now, more toxic derivative bubbles growing in the midst of this, call it a recession if it's happening to somebody else, a depression if it's happening to you. That's the old adage. But that's the weird thing about it, is as poor as we're all getting, more poor every day, the disparity between the top and the bottom constantly expanding, mm-hmm. There it is, right there on Wall Street. The number is bigger than ever before. The dollar was, you know, literally holding its own as a global reserve currency. So, you know, that's the conflict you have here. It doesn't even make sense. The Federal Reserve has cut its discount window. It cuts its prime interest rate and its lending rates down to almost nothing. There's nothing left to do anymore. There's no more fixes that you can put into it. And when this thing runs out of juice, there isn't going to be anywhere to go, Maria.
Hey, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, when you look at the Federal Reserve, I mean, what did they do? They said, oh, we're doing so much better. So instead of buying back $85 billion a month of our own debt, we're going to reduce it to $75 billion a month. I mean, people have to realize with Wall Street giving themselves the Wall Street bankers, $91 million in bonuses this year. We bailed those suckers out, and there's nothing for the people.
Well, we get to live under their monopolies, because the $75 billion or $85 billion a month, which goes almost interest-free to Goldman Sachs, to J.P. Morgan, to Citibank, and, you know, the usual suspects, is being used to not only lend out 10 times or more of fractional reserve lending at real interest rates, but used to buy up. I mean, I just watched It's a Wonderful Life again for Christmas, and there they are.
I love that
movie. You know, Mr. Potter. They don't panic in a recession. They buy. They buy low, create the bubble, get out just in time, and suck up more of the real wealth in this country and around the world, and they'll keep doing it until we stop them.
Well, you know, the saving grace in that movie was private-owned bank, you know, the local little banker, you know, that I've been telling people for years, God, it must have been Jack. I want to say 10 years ago, Catherine Fitz was on my show on the 4th of July. Right before the 4th of July, and she wanted to start this movement for people taking their money out of the big banks, putting them in local banks or credit unions. And it really didn't catch on till a year or two ago when people started realizing how they were getting ripped off by their big banks.
Yeah, I almost believe, and Catherine Fitz is going to be on my show here in a couple of weeks, I almost believe that it is possible Wall Street started the movement against the banks. Because if they're member banks, right, they're good. They're protected and under this umbrella of the global central banks. But if they're credit unions and they're non-member banks who don't use fractional reserve lending, they are the target of the Treasury's blueprint, which came out in around 2008 or 2009. And part of that blueprint was, quantitative easing, that is, you know, printing money forever, bailouts forever for the foreseeable future, and eliminating non-member banks and credit unions. So that's what the Bailey Building and Loan was. It was basically a credit union where I loaned you money for your house, you loaned me money for my car, and we all worked together for the common good, and that when we missed a payment, we weren't thrown out of our house. George Bailey's a hero. I've heard people call him a communist, and that movie's some brand of socialism. They're crazy. That's how we need to do it.
Well, that's what happens. You know, when you bank in your neighborhood bank, the loans go out to your neighbors. And people don't realize that. You know, you're funding, you know, I remember years ago, I don't remember who it was, that said, you know, you can protest all day long in the streets, but if the big banks have your money, they laugh at you. They don't give a crap. They have your money. They don't give a shit if you're screaming in the streets.
Yeah, it's not banks that are bad or even bankers, and that might be shocking to people for me to say that. It's the investment bankers, and we know their names. Mm. And why not stop them? Why not stop doing business with them in the same way many of us have stopped doing business with Walmart or something.
Hey.
Just turn the spigot off.
I agree, Jack. But the thing is, even when you do stop doing business with them, you need to let them know why. Just walking away is not enough. Do you know what I mean? When I got educated that way, you know, I actually had money in the bank at that time, and it was with Bank of America. And after getting educated and talking with Catherine for sure, I decided I was going to go into the bank and do just that. And, you know, banks treat you different when you have money in your account compared to if you just have bare minimum in your account. So I went up to the teller, and you know how loud I am, Jack. And I said, I want to withdraw all my money out of this bank. And the teller immediately called the manager. I mean, they make a big deal out of giving you your own money. Let's not forget that, because banks usually don't have any money in them. And the manager came over and said, oh, Miss Heller, have we done anything wrong, this, that, the other thing? And I opened up a mouth to her about everything that I had learned. She didn't answer me not one time. She just turned around, told the teller, write her a check. And she walked away while I was still on my soapbox in the bank with everybody listening. So to me, it's not enough to stop doing business with them. You need to let them know why you're not doing business with them.
Yeah, I was thinking about the Reverend Billy and the guys that went into, a Chase Bank and started protesting in the bank and got arrested. And people see them as a target now. And there was another shooting today on Christmas Day in New Jersey at a mall, I believe, a couple of people killed. And I'm not advocating for violence of any kind, but, if you want an enemy, there are plenty of them. We know, again, their names. And I think, there's a great book out there by my friend Tom Hansen called This Is What We Do, and I'll just leave it at that. That if you're going to do something, there are plenty of people that deserve to have something done to them. You know, I also think about It's a Wonderful Life, and I look at how people lived back then and how grateful they were to have a little house with a bathroom and a little yard and just some of the most basic elements of life and living life and not sitting in front of their TVs or their computers. You know, I will complain about modern society and the technotronic era. But now if you look at people can't have a house like that, that would not be you wouldn't be cool. I wouldn't be kosher. You wouldn't be keeping up with the Joneses. You have to have that giant prefab house that's thousands of square feet, mm-hmm. So you can make it look like you've become something in life rather than just having some of the simpler things. So we have to bring our expectations way down. And I'll tell you, Maria, the thing about with the energy to the water and the amount of food that there is to feed the whole world, mm-hmm. we just need to be a lot less wasteful on every level.
Absolutely. I mean, we have so much garbage in this country. We produce so much garbage in this country and in the world. And, I think restaurants probably throw out, at least, I want to say, one quarter of what they cook every day. And yet we have towns where it's illegal to give that food to the homeless or to feed the homeless. What the hell is that about? So as a human race, we may be technologically advanced, but on a soul and moral level, we are devolving. If people are okay, and I see so many hateful posts online against anybody getting food stamps or anybody on welfare, because these people are so ignorant, they don't understand that the biggest welfare recipients are the corporations and the people at the top that have sucked us all dry. I mean, they sucked our equity out of our homes. They're sucking our pensions away. I mean, there's no end to the greed that these people have. And I mean, if they're really on their Agenda 21, what better way to kill millions of people than just starve them to death?
Well, I'm all about stopping the corporate welfare before we start looking at how we can better help people. I think what people are mad about, they hear the firebombs and the rhetoric from the Rush Limbaughs of the world, and they really just are copying that to some degree, right? Mm-hmm. And it gets worse from there. But they are upset because people are living below the poverty line. They're not doing that well. And a big chunk of their paycheck every month goes to people who are poor. Well, I'll speak for the working poor. you know, I don't have it to give. I mean, really, I would make a big pot of soup and I do this and go feed the people myself on the street, but I don't have the thousands of dollars a year to give. And I've been in the welfare system. I've seen, you know, all the scammers over there. So there's just a ton of bureaucratic waste all over and people scamming it. So I think it's legitimate. People are legitimately upset that the system is just so corrupt and so bloated and so full of waste again that they don't want to do it. But they have to start, and I call it positive austerity. You've got to start. I mean, when we're spending $1.7 trillion a year on war, right?
Right.
And you can feed the whole world for a quarter of that.
But that's not what they want. They don't want to feed the world. You know their agenda, Jack. This is all about them, you know, that top elite group who obviously thinks they can survive on this planet without everybody else doing their, you know, doing their dirty work for them. So these are sociopaths. What?
I said the poop rolls downhill.
I know.
People are mockingbirds. They're copying. Yeah, that is, you're right. It's corporate jargon, but you know, I do think people really are upset that more and more of your money through fees and taxes and whatnot is being taken from you, and you don't know why, and these people are providing you a reason. So listen, I know a lot of Republicans and Tea Party people, they don't want poor people to suffer, but they don't quite understand the leakage at the top. So again, how much money can we save by not spraying the skies of America with our death material putting up there? How much money can you save not putting fluoride in the water? Again, I mean, how much money can you save not militarizing the police and not, you know, creating a big bloated NSA spy agency and war and intervention, and we're in 170 countries with our military Leviathan, and then bailing out Europe and $85 billion a month to Wall Street. So once we stop that bleeding at the top, then we can look at creating a better society. I mean, we have the answers now.
Right. Well, you know, our foreign military aid is breaking the bank. I had a report. We had, I don't know, 5 or 6 of these planes that they supposedly made for war rotting in a jungle somewhere, unused, never been used, cost us $6 billion. I mean, when you look at how they piss money away, The cheapest thing they waste money on is the food program. Do you know what I mean? That's like nothing. That's like a sneeze. Jax, we're going to go to a short break. When we get back, you have some new and exciting news. We didn't even get to touch on it yet. So stay with us, Jack.
Wow. One solid hour of commercial-free information thanks to you. The person who wants truth has the integrity and understanding to support it with your donation and subscription. Maria believes people can handle the truth and delivers it tirelessly with those with ears to listen. 14 years on the net. Won't you take a moment right now to commit to a subscription of your choice at www.maria.net. That's MERIA.net. Over 1,100 hours of pure education all in one place, 24/7, and all downloadable. Knowledge is power. Sharing that knowledge is wisdom. Together we can change the world and create real hope. Now let's get back to the Maria Heller Show.
Okay, welcome back to Blood and Guts with myself and my excellent co-host Jack Blood. If you're not familiar with Jack's work, get over to deadlinelive.info. Jack is one of the rare and few less than one hand people that I will ever recommend anybody listen to. And somebody that I know has always had my back, and I will always have his. And Jack, you've got some good news, so you get to deliver it.
Well, the universe has been very good to me, and I'm happy to say that we will be back on the air Monday through Friday on January 6, 2014 on the Micro Effect Radio Network. That's themicroeffect.com. All the information at deadlinelive.info. So we'll be back again 2 hours a day in my old time slot, afternoon drive, East Coast, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock p.m. East Coast time, Monday through Friday, starting on the 6th. And we have a big money bomb right now. So if people want to donate and contribute so I can tighten up all my equipment and make sure everything's going to work for this, we're here in the 11th hour. We need your help. Please, we'll make sure that, you know, we do the best we can with whatever donations we get and you know, turn it into something positive as far as karma. Jackblood@hotmail.com to find out how to help us and write us over there. We'd love to have your support, and hopefully your great listeners will come over and listen to us.
Great. Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding? You're like one of their favorite shows every month. I had people jumping at the bit that we were going to do predictions this year. So, when I think of predictions, I always think of Johnny Carson when he used to do the great Karnak, how fun that was. Unfortunately, our predictions haven't been too much fun, but they've been pretty damn accurate all along, sad to say.
And we are live on Christmas Day, if you haven't already mentioned it. Am I not supposed to say that for the timing of it all?
What?
No,
we are. We are on Christmas Day. You know, I always tell people, they're like, Maria, you're working on the holidays? And I'm like, the news doesn't take a holiday. Why would I take a holiday? You know, somebody's got to be out there talking to people and giving them some hope. And, you know, there always is hope. Make no mistake about it, Jack.
Reminds me of the movie, Death Takes a Holiday.
Well, guess I'm not death. Anyhow, what do you see coming up this year?
Well, listen, we did our prediction show last year. I got a lot of it right. Some of it I might have been a little ahead of, and that's hard because, you know, things are fluid. So as you can easily predict, there could be a button down in Syria. What you can't predict is the people will rise up and stop something like that. So though we did see massive instability for South America last year, that hasn't quite materialized yet, so I'll take a bullet for that one. Though we did predict that Hugo Chavez would die on our show last year, and it didn't take too long. We predicted an escalation in U.S. and world violence, and, you know, 2 days later we had the Sandy Hook shootings, and then, of course, the Boston massacre, the Boston bombing, so that certainly happened. There was a lot of things that I did get right and almost nothing I got wrong. Of course, I did predict the end of Facebook. I didn't know that how addicted people were and how tough they were to beat. Maybe we'll get that this year. And I won't go into all the predictions we did get right for 2013, but I'll be putting those back up. I see, first of all, 2014 itself is loaded with sevens, right? Because 2 + 1 + 4 is a 7.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 / 14 is 7, right?
Right.
Just checking my math with you, Maria.
Yep.
7 is a great number, so much better than the 13 we just dealt with. And if I'm going to give a positive spin to 2014, 7 is the number of the seeker, the thinker, the searcher of truth. And if you want to just leave it there, it goes into more. But I want to take that out and put it into context. I think that we have a 777 coming up on, that would be July 7th, 2014. Remember the last time we had a 777, we had the London bombings.
Right.
And that could, something like that could happen again this year, but I'm getting some stuff in my, a little feedback here, but I'm going to go forward. But I also think that this could be a great day for truth. So this would be an awesome day if you want to plan a huge global or national truth event. Do it, schedule it for 777 this year. It is an election year, Maria, so massive division. You are going to see both sides leveraging against the Duck Dynasty crew versus the, you know, Occupy crew, right? The minorities versus the rednecks in the South with the beards, and they're going to pull out all the stops. There is a huge move to try to take control by the Obama administration and get back the trifecta they enjoyed when they first came in, and they're going to do anything and they're going to say anything to get that and demonize anyone, and this is going to further divide the country and I think cause some street violence. I'm a little concerned about that unless we kind of open up to it. But at the same time, they're going to lose, and I think this is very much like what we saw in 2006 when the Democrats came in and took over the House and the Senate. I think we could see the Republicans taking over the Senate and further crippling the Obama administration, which, by the way, I think might not be a bad thing, as long as we don't keep, you know, turning around and doing the same things over and over again. We have the Russian Olympics coming up, Maria, in Sochi, and that's just this February. And the tension, as you mentioned earlier, between this country and Putin couldn't be higher.
Right. Well, we're not going to the Olympics. You know, our fearful leaders chose not to go over the supposed gay issue, which, you know, has nothing to do with gays. It probably has more to do with Snowden.
This is all the symptom of the problem, and that is that Oceania is always at war with Eurasia, as I mentioned. So you have a major superpower like Russia getting its legs again, and people like Zbigniew Brzezinski and George Soros and the usual suspects, Henry Kissinger, who just hate Russia. Now, if we're so against, you know, oppression of gay people, why are we supporting the president of Uganda, who has literally just made it illegal and punishable by death in some circumstances? So that's obviously not it. But I do suspect, and we've not predicted violence in the last several Olympics, and I think that that's gone fairly smoothly. I've been the naysayer, not so much this time. I think that that window is certainly open, so that is something we'll have to look at, and that's going to be February 7th to the 23rd. We haven't heard much about that, so the hype hasn't even started. And what a great opportunity for the West to strike at Eurasia in Russia and blame it on terrorism at some point and hopefully get Russia maybe back into the fold. Who knows? But that would be exploited. Hey, I see a good news story.
Uh-huh.
A huge information dump on the issue of chemtrail. Major chemtrail news this year. I think we're ready for it, Maria, don't you?
Absolutely. I certainly agree.
We're looking at proof, possible documents to further prove the case. We've already got scientific data, information from some of the best people out there. We're looking at a potential whistleblower or maybe even a hacktivist getting this information and releasing it to the world. As I said, this is going to be a good year for truth.
I agree. I totally agree on that. Unfortunately, I think, you know, in a land of divide and conquer, we're going to see a lot of infighting between Americans, you know.
That again speaks to an election year.
No, I'm talking about physical violence, okay? I'm not just talking about, you know, vote them out and my party's better than your party. When I look at, you know, how easily brainwashed and duped the majority of Americans are, which is pretty sad, I think it's very easy that they'll start going to blows. The other thing that I predict is you're going to start seeing more people start turning on the police. I think that being a policeman is going to become as dangerous for them as it's become for being a citizen. And, you know, as the more people lose, the hungrier they get, the more homeless they get, the more violent they're going to get. And the difference this time is they know who the enemy is. Like you said, you know, these people have names and addresses. The people that are not spiritually enlightened or evolved will be the ones that think fisticuffs is the answer. Those that are evolved, I think, are going to just get to such a safe space that they become unaffected by everything going on here.
Well, listen, and the reason I mentioned again the election year, normally your predictions for an election year are not very much because they don't want scandals, they don't want to make any big moves because nobody wants to get blamed for it and then have to be punished in November, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody's very stable and that sucks up a good part of the information. But as I mentioned, this particular election is so life and death for the two wings of the one-party system, right? And there's such a power struggle and a gunfight going on at the poker table that I wouldn't put it past them to put provocateurs and shock troops on the street. We've already seen this massive hype going with this thing called the knockout game.
Right.
Which does exist. I've actually been a victim of something like that myself in the past. I didn't have a name for it. But it's another form of initiation on the street level. But that being turned into and fanning the flames of this violent division along with these provocateurs and shock troops hitting the street could get ugly, Maria. And think that's always one of the last resorts. It's, again, up to us to, you know, try to keep our cool here.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not that difficult to actually, you know, here it is, Christmas Day. So a lot of people, of course, celebrating Christmas, celebrating Jesus, celebrating his message, and nobody living his message. Okay, whether Jesus was real or not, you know, I have plenty of shows on that. But the bottom line is Jesus, Buddha, Gandhi, it doesn't matter who said the words. The messages are always the same. Take care of the poor, share what you have, love your neighbor, love your enemy, okay? Imagine a world where people actually lived their religion. There would be no war. There would be no governments. We would have no need for them. You know, so I think people are going to either step up or flip out this year. So I'm expecting a lot of crazy people, a lot of crazy things happening, you know, crazier than what happened this year, because I understand human nature. And humans are not different than any other animal, Jack. When they feel like they're under attack, they defend themselves. When they've got nothing left to lose, they fight like they got nothing left to lose. But on the other hand, I'm seeing a lot of people becoming enlightened, taking action, not just sitting back doing nothing, because people action has changed a lot of things. And even though you don't care for Facebook any more than I do, one thing's for sure, Jack, Facebook has changed the verdicts on a lot of trials in this country, made judges to be held responsible, tend to get people more educated on the news than the shit that the mass media puts out. And that's showing people power, because as soon as, you know, you get a movement going on Facebook, LinkedIn, any of the social media, all of a sudden when you have a light shining on the criminals, they have to take different action. Like that judge that let that kid go after he killed four people for affluenza. Now she's being pressured to redo that, to retry that case.
Is there another better example of how all laws are selectively enforced, depending on who you know and who you blow, okay? I mean, right. That is something we have to understand. Laws and regulations, you know, we get locked into this. It's very Huxleyan, right?
Right.
We get locked into this thing where we're begging for our own slavery. We will become kind of unconscious to the fact that it's happening, so we start asking for things like taxing the rich, when taxing the rich is almost impossible under the system we have. Nobody wants to tax the rich more than the rich because they know they'll have exemptions, just as we found out Mark Zuckerberg has
right.
a full-on exemption. And not only that,
and a refund.
They get money.
I know. They get refunds. The bottom line is the rich have sucked all that money out of the rest of us. And unless the rich drop dead, that money's not going back in circulation, because the rich most of the time don't spend jack squat. That's why they have it. You know, they don't need to spend on necessities or things like you and I do, Jack. You know, they've got everything they want, and they're usually so cheap they squeak when they walk.
It's very complicated. At the same time, I feel much better under the number 2014 or 7 than I do under that number 13. And I think that we are going to see way more awareness this year than we did. It's almost impossible to have as bad of a year as we had in 2013.
Oh, never say never, Jack.
Be some chilling. No, you'll be able to point out, you'll be able to take a few events from 2014 and go, see, Jack, there was something bad did happen. I'm not saying that nothing bad will happen, obviously.
Right.
But it will be a lot less in comparison. I've seen the death list starting on 1/1/13, the death list just started and went every day all year. I've got a whole list of all the deaths and the wars and the violence, right? It's almost impossible to get to that level without blowing the whole poop house in the deal. So you have to remember that the Fabian socialists that are controlling things, and that's their religion for the most part, they love the incrementalism. They don't want to bite off more than they can chew. And that could get out of control. And we've already seen this. I mean, the revolt, the people standing up, the people getting very upset. So they're going to have to pacify the people somehow this year. And, well, that's, I guess, I'm trying to be optimistic.
Well, I'm being optimistic. I could tell you this, you know, and maybe I've said it before, but this year I'm going to really try to adhere to it. But what my intention is, Not that my show will ever stop covering the madness on this planet or the political game or theater that we get, but I want to make my show more useful, okay? I want to teach more spiritual principles, more things that make people healthy, more things that make people happy. You know, yesterday I did a great show on, because you know, Jack, a lot of people get fired or laid off this time of the year, Merry Christmas, on how to get a job, how to succeed at a resume. You know, what's the job market like in this day and age? You know, I want to put forward more positive, useful stuff that can make us separate our psyche from being locked into just the negative and the madness on this planet. And I think that's, you know, that's the way to go.
Your listeners are going to be unique in that respect. And you've always done that, Maria, and that's why we all love you. Is that most people out there, they want doom and destruction, and they want their fear porn, and they want to be scared, and they want things to be negative. And as soon as you start talking about the positives, they turn the channel on you. So, again, kudos to you and your listeners, because they do need that. That is a drug that is a healthy addiction, let's say, is being hooked to what the positive slant on things. And there's plenty of them to talk about. We did a few of them today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you got some young kids on this planet now, Jack, that are coming up with inventions to beat the band, simple solutions to some serious long-term problems. And, you know, nobody talks about that stuff, okay? Because after all, you know, if these kids are gifted, we better ignore them or find a way to put them on the Soma pill from Brave New World. But there is a lot of good going on. And, you know, I'm very proud of the fact, Jack, that my audience, when they hear me ranting on about the news, are laughing along with me, that they can actually dissect it and laugh at it too. Because if we lose our balance in this world, we're finished. We will be trampled on. And that's just the truth of it. And balance, as you know, Jack, is all about spirituality.
However you want to look at it. You know, I have people that write on my Facebook page, and it's all about them. And they're so sick and unhealthy, some of them. And maybe they're listening right now. I'm talking about you. But, hey, you know, we need to remember that we are a small part of the bigger picture, that there is something bigger than ourselves, that here we are in the holiday season, and if we're not out, you know, doing something good for somebody else, then we've completely wasted the whole process. That it isn't about I, me, and my. It's about we, us, and them. So this is a practice we can get into, certainly, that will make us all a little more balanced and healthier. We have become a nation that is completely self-obsessed and at the same time sick with self-loathing. And this is why we are seeing the violence. That is the exact end to the formula.
Right. Well, I think we're going to, you know, besides notice, you know, what you had said, which I agree with, Jack, I think we're going to see a big difference in the amount of spiritual energy coming to the planet. People waking up, people becoming more caring, people becoming more questioning and saying, wait a minute, this doesn't stand anymore. This doesn't work for me. So, you know, I don't give up on the human race, okay? I'm in it for the duration, Jack, and I'm going to be preaching this, you know, till the day I leave this planet and say, so long, suckers. But the truth of the matter is, you know, people are getting smarter. You know, it may not look like it by what they promote on the media, but people are getting fed up and they are getting smarter. You know, I live in a very small town in the mountains, Jack. And I can tell you this from the pulse of the people I talk to in town. I would say the people up here are more aware of what you and I talk about than all of Phoenix, Jack. And, you know, people are not happy. And I think you're going to see a big difference this year. It may not be till, you know, the middle to the end of the year, but a big difference. So something big is coming down the pike in 2014.
We're definitely on our way, and that's why, again, it's a great year for the seeker, the thinker, the searcher of truth. You know, one of the greatest things that happened last year is the unification under the food conspiracy. And you got to see and rub shoulders and work with people of all colors, of all forms of spirituality, from all political persuasions, men, women, old people, young people, all coming together for a common cause to expose, you know, Monsanto and the poison food industry. And we're going to find more common denominators like that, and it's not just finding them, it's them locking in, getting a plan, and working together to make positive changes. I'm seeing that everywhere. The food conspiracy is now no longer a conspiracy theory. It's obviously conspiracy fact, and people are putting it into practice. When I live in a fairly nice neighborhood here in East Atlanta, and people are growing food in their yard and keeping chickens and whatnot,
that's great.
You know, you can really see it starting to happen. And then the overall gang force of consensus against box stores and corporate chains and international slavery is, I think it's just a beautiful thing. And I believe this year we'll see some major points of fruition there.
Absolutely. Well, Jack, thanks for joining me today on this Holy of Holy Days. I know you're busy with family stuff and, you know, hug your wife for me and give your son a big kiss for me. I know he's a big boy now. He's 10. And I guess you and I guess I won't talk to you till next year, Jack.
Well, I'm hoping you'll be a regular guest since I'm not going on first thing. The crack of dawn, we'll be on in the afternoon, so we'll hopefully...
I'd love to.
We'll come on the Jack Blood Show. Again, more information about that at deadlinelive.info. And the rest of my predictions, we'll write those all up for you, deadlinelive.info. Get them out everywhere, and check us out on Facebook and Twitter as well. Maria, I love you so much. What a great year it's been. And it's here I am fighting with you still after all these years. I look forward to a great 2014.
Me too, Jack. You take good care. Love you. Jack Blood, check him out, deadlinelive.info, and I guess we'll see what the year holds, or as the TV used to say, only the shadow knows. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I will see you guys tomorrow when I'm back with the news.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.